Hi, and welcome to another edition of Ride on Rangers Live, coming at you after a thrilling comeback 6-4 victory. Not one that I saw coming, by the way, full transparency, but the Rangers get it done. They fall down 4-2, 2-0 at one point, end up winning the ball game 6-4, thanks to some big clutch hitting by one Zeke Duran and Josh Smith. And you know what? The Rangers now ensure a split with a chance to win the series tomorrow, all you could ask for. I don't think any of us in a four-game set should be expecting sweeps. Hard to do in a four-game set, hard to do in a three-game set. But the Rangers now put themselves in a position tomorrow to get that third game and win 3 out of 4 against the Angels. Hope you guys are having a great Saturday. Of course, we were on a little bit earlier today doing some Longhorns post-game. So here we are for the Rangers tonight. Excited to be here with you and talk a Rangers victory. And of course, here at Ride on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you so much for choosing Ride on Rangers for all of your Texas Rangers content. A lot of different options out there, but we're here bringing you the best post-game analysis for every single Texas Rangers game from now until the end of the season. This was game 143. And with the victory today, the Rangers improved to 69-74, 5 games under .500 with an opportunity to make that 4 tomorrow. Great win. Jack Leiter, I think we can now officially say best start in the major leagues for him. 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. I think that there's really no doubting at this point. This was the best start for Jack Leiter. Didn't seem like it was going to go that great, especially on his third pitch of the game where he gave up a 385-foot home run to Taylor Ward to begin the game. Then he hit the next batter. Wasn't looking great for Leiter. It was not looking very good for him there for a second, but you know what? He settled in well and did not give up another run until the sixth inning. Jack Leiter absolutely pitched his best game of his major league career to this point. And you know what? It is against the Angels, but he pitched against the White Sox and did not have a good outing. It's not easy, even against the worst lineups, to just mow through professional hitters. So, you know, I do take it with a small grain of salt that this was against the Angels. But at the same time, I think you have to understand these are professional hitters. These are guys that play at the highest level of baseball in the world. And so I do think you have to give Jack a lot of credit for what he was able to do tonight. His final line on tonight's game, 5 innings pitched, 2 hits. I think that's the big one for me. 2 hits, 2 walks. Of course, if you talk to Jack, I'm sure he'll want those back. But 4 base runners in 5 innings. And one of those base runners was Ward hitting the home run. 3 earned runs. Look, that ERA still looks pretty ugly at 10.41. Not a misspeak, 10.41 ERA for Jack Leiter so far in his major league career. Not great, but you know what? Tonight was, I think, the first night for me that I said to myself, okay, this can play. This can play. I mean, look, it's not necessarily something where I'm hoping that he's going to be the ace of the staff one day or expecting that. But today, the stuff, the performance, the outing, this is third starter, fourth starter stuff. And right now, the Rangers, they don't need a ace. They don't need a second starter. I think they've already got those covered. I think if Jack can give us this type of performance on a consistent basis, you will 100% take it. If he can continue to up his game and become that number two, maybe even number one guy, amazing. I think that when we drafted Jack Leiter, clearly we had aspirations of him one day heading up a staff. Why would you draft him otherwise? We talked about that last night on the live. But this is the kind of outing you can point to and say positive steps, 100%. Let me keep going here with some comments. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. I see I got a number of people joining in on YouTube. Got some people in on X as well. Thank you so much. Appreciate y'all. So Tristan, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Hey, we got the Longhorns earlier. We got the Rangers tonight, getting the dub. We got the Cowboys game tomorrow, and I will be going live after that Cowboys game. Don't know how we're going to do it. We might have to go combined Cowboys-Rangers game tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Cowboys game at 3:25 Texas time at Cleveland, playing the Browns. We'll see what happens. I don't know what time the Rangers game is. I'm going to try and look it up real quick for y'all on the fly. But it's going to be a busy day of Texas sports tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. Rangers play, Cowboys. It's going to be great. Hopefully we can double up, get a couple of wins. That would be nice. I think that this first game for the Cowboys, just to give y'all a small preview, is going to tell quite a bit. I mean, I'll give CeeDee Lamb and the chemistry. Maybe I'll give that a game or two. I can imagine just with all the reps that CeeDee and Dak have taken over their careers together, they'll probably be all right. But you know what? If the offense isn't quite up to full speed, I think we all can understand why. CeeDee, of course, getting a big contract, but holding out for a while. So I'm excited for that Cowboys game, and hopefully the Rangers game will be just as good. So tomorrow, let's talk about it real quick. Rangers game is going to be at 1:35. So we got Rangers Cowboys pretty much going on at the same time. So we'll be doing some split screen. And my guess is probably we'll do a joint right on Rangers Live, Cowboys and Rangers. We'll talk about each one, maybe even go live during both of them. We'll see what happens. But tonight, let's get back to the Rangers. Jack Leiter, best start of his major league career. And I think we talked really the last couple of nights about Jack, and was he going to actually take some positive strides, have some good games? I think we were kind of trying to put a little bit of lipstick on a pig with some of the outings where he still gave up or managed to give up five runs. Even the fact that some of those runs that he was giving up in, like that Yankees game, for example, he didn't technically let the runs in. I know there was some accusing of just box score watching going on back and forth among some Rangers fans. Like, let's be real, Jack Leiter in that Yankees game loaded the bases and had nobody out when he came out of the game. Like, the chances of him not actually giving up those runs himself are pretty slim. So I don't even think you need to accuse anybody of box score watching and not actually watching the game. Jack Leiter was probably not going to get out of that mess in the Yankees game. Five runs in five innings, that's not ideal. But tonight, five innings, three earned runs. And yeah, one of the earned runs was not one that he himself allowed in, but a base runner that was on his ledger when he left the game. Chafin, of course, coming in to relieve him, and the run comes in to score to make it three earned runs for Leiter. But this is, I think, a legitimate game you can point to and say, best game of his career, positive steps. Yes, it's against the Angels, but at the same time, the Angels have some professional hitters. They've got some dudes that can swing the bat. They're not a great baseball team by and large, but we just need positive results from Jack, and we got that tonight. Six Ks, good to see that from him. And again, less than five base runners in five innings pitched. You got to love that. So Jack Leiter got to be the big story today. And then also, I think you got to go Zeke Duran with the big double in the bottom of the fifth inning, followed up by Josh Smith in the bottom of the seventh, scoring two with a single, with two outs, by the way. Very, very clutch from Josh Smith. I absolutely, absolutely have seen Josh Smith and know Josh has it in him. But sometimes you do get mired down in some negativity when time after time you've got the Rangers not coming through in the clutch. So I was a little bit on the fence, was not sure if the Rangers were going to overcome a 4-2 deficit. Felt great when they tied it up with Zeke. Just did not know if they were going to be able to come through with that big hit late, though, after going down 4-2. Very glad to have been proven wrong. So Josh Smith, Zeke Duran, big hits. And then, of course, Simeon had one that made it a 4-3 ball game. I believe Wyatt Langford had an RBI, a huge insurance run that makes it 6-4 going into the ninth. So Yates has a little bit of cushion slamming the door. Robertson, Yates come in eighth and ninth respectively. Robertson ERA now below three at 2.90. Again, this is the formula, except the Rangers actually scored some runs late this time, but got a good starting pitching performance, was able to bridge the gap between the starting pitcher and the eighth inning. They had to navigate that sixth inning a little bit. It got a little wild there, literally with Andrew Chafin throwing the wild pitch, Jonah Heim with the throwing error. It got a little bit wonky there in the top of the sixth inning, but able to get it to Robertson and Yates. That is the key. And when you do that as a Rangers fan, you got to feel pretty good about their chances coming in. Let me keep going here. John, my guy, thanks for tuning in. John says, Leiter did fairly well, saved the first inning trouble. I agree. I mean, look, if I'm grading the start, I can't give it anything below a B minus. I'm not giving it an A. It's probably B minus B if I'm giving it a grade that way. I don't think I'm going any higher, though, than B. I'm saying B or B minus, which is great. I think the Yankees, it was a C plus. You dealt for five. Then you let the first three on in the top of the sixth inning. Again, some people, the Jack Leiter apologist, you're just box score watching. Five earned runs. That wasn't really what happened. He gave up three straight hits in the top of the sixth. Was he going to get out of that? Maybe, but I don't know if I'm counting on that based on the body of work. I think that's a big leap. So, look, this is by far Jack Leiter's best start. Can we get a couple more of these? I think if we can get a couple more of these, five, six innings, two, three, you know, I don't want to say four, but I think two or three earned runs right in that mix. I think that's going to do a lot going into the offseason, into next year in 2025. So that's my goal for Leiter. Let's have a couple more of those. Maybe get a quality start under your belt before the end of this season. That'd be outstanding. I'll keep going here. The fifth, the sixth, those errors for two runs after we tied it. Yeah, put its hand on the circus. One of my favorite guys that I've coached baseball with, he would always say that whenever a play was made, but it's just like, or we won the game, but it just was harder than it needed to be, put its hand on that circus. I mean, seriously. And look, what I said about Jonah Heim, I do think is true, and I think it's going on from game to game. So Heim, again tonight, goes 0-for-4. Allows that ball from Chapin, which was a tough ball to block. Now, do I expect the Gold Glover to be able to keep a lot in front of them? Yes, I do. The expectations are higher. That was a tough pitch to block for Heim. I think he got a pass ball on that initially, and then they ended up giving Chapin the wild pitch. I think that's what I gathered, but I'd have to go back and do a little bit of a deeper dive into the box score. But then the throwing error, I mean, Heim just not ideal there. And I do feel like the offense is affecting the defense a little bit. They actually asked, I got to give credit. I think it was Evan Grant who asked some hard-hitting questions to Bruce Bochy about Jonah Heim. Like, why is he falling off a cliff? And, you know, Boch didn't really give too much. It wasn't like a super insightful interview by any means. It was very much coach speak. Bochy basically said, yep, you know, he's struggling out there. No, we don't think that his lack of offense is affecting the defense. Bochy did mention that they changed his setup behind the plate. I forget if it was they moved him forward or back, but they changed his setup, and they said, and Evan Grant mused, maybe that's affecting some of the defense a little bit. So a little insider information there with Jonah Heim. I just feel like collectively his game is off this year, and I think he needs a reset. I'd be giving Carson Kelly probably a few more at-bats than just the split platoon that they've been doing. And I know Kelly comes in as a pinch hitter tonight, but for me, I'm probably going two Kelly, one Heim at this point, if that makes sense. I want Kelly in two and then Heim on that third day. Or at minimum, I want Kelly DHing and Heim doing the catching. I just think right now you couldn't really do a whole lot of harm by giving Jonah a little bit more time in between and letting Kelly get a lot of the reps at this point. I know Kelly is a free agent at the end of the year. Heim is under control. So I think there is something to be said that you want to give more reps to the guys that are absolutely going to be there next year. But I still would like to see Kelly more than Heim. I think Heim is just in a little bit of a bad way right now. I think offensively, defensively, it's just not sharp. We've talked about potential reasons why, but who really knows? Even Bruce Bochy wasn't really offering a whole lot as to why the decline has happened. They did ask, Evan Grant did ask Bochy if he thought that the extended run into October and November maybe had something to do with the Heim regression. He said no. So there wasn't a lot of excuses being made for Jonah. But there wasn't a lot of good quality information being given as to why he may be struggling. Not really something that you would expect to be any different. Bochy isn't going to get into the intricate X's and O's of why Jonah is sucking right now. He's not. But I will say this. I'm glad that they at least are asking the questions, because you guys know that's been a big thing for me, is like, can we ask some hard-hitting questions to this coaching staff? Once in a while, can we ask some hard-hitting questions? Right, do we have to lob up softballs to the coaches every single night after a loss? Can we go a little New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox, Philadelphia Phillies media style and put a little fire under some of these guys to answer hard-hitting, real questions? I think that it's good to see, refreshing, that they actually asked Bochy about Jonah Heim's struggles specifically and what might be going on. So there you go. Let's talk about some of the other things in this game, though. I'm going to keep going to comments. So John says, pulling lighter after the first hit in the sixth inning, Chapin comes in and two more runs come in. Now, I had a lot going on tonight. I always pay attention to the game in and out. Watched the first part of it for a little while. Had to kind of go and do some different things with the fam in between, but I was able to catch a fair amount. I didn't catch the pitch count that Leiter was at when he came out of the game, so I'm going to check that now. He was at 86 pitches, John. So, look, that is kind of teetering. Could he have probably gone another few? I think absolutely. And just giving up the one hit, I think there's something to be said. Well, you know, maybe you let him get one more. I don't think that they should have given him any more than one. So if you give up the leadoff, you get one more guy. If he gets on, then definitely pull. But I think they probably had the Yankees game in the back of their mind, John. Don't you think that might have been? Because they didn't pull him after the fifth inning of the Yankees game. Then they left him out there in the sixth to work through it, and he started getting into a lot of trouble. So my thought on that is they were probably trying to avoid repeating the mistake in the Yankees game of leaving him in too long. I think they wanted him to leave with some confidence. And look, there were some Rangers fans, pundits, you know, media people kind of saying in so many words, like, this is a part of the process. So you're helping him to grow. You're stretching him a little bit, stretching Leiter out, and you're trying to see if he can work through things. So basically, like, growing pains is what a lot of people said in terms of the reason why Bochy left Leiter in the sixth inning against the Yankees. I'm of a little bit of a different mindset. I think you've got a kid who in his first four or five starts really, really struggled, and you need to have some confidence building moments for him. So I actually think it was a really good move to not let him get into too much trouble tonight. I don't love Chapin coming in and immediately giving up the runs, but I actually think that it was probably wise to allow Leiter to leave with some confidence and some momentum as he finishes out this season. So I can't say that it bothered me a ton, especially knowing 86 pitches. It's not like he was in the 60s or 70s. I definitely think you could give him one more. Hey, if one more guy gets on base, we're pulling you. But I understand that Bochy and company are probably trying to allow him to leave with his head held high with some confidence. Let me keep going. John says, why do we have to wait till the eighth to string together some hits? I don't know, man. This had such a typical feel to it of Rangers offense over the entire season. So you just did not feel, at least I didn't feel, that this was going to be a comeback game. It just felt like every other game where we just have not been able to score throughout. And if we do, it's one or two runs. I mean, look, tonight we end up getting six. Awesome. Whenever the Rangers can get that many, normally they're winning games. A lot of teams, that's true. But I will say this game to me felt very typical, and I'm glad that it became atypical, especially with the big clutch hit by Josh Smith with two outs in the bottom of the seventh. Robertson and Yates money, totally agreed, 100%. John says, I don't think I've ever seen a pass ball go that far on that wild pitch tonight. Dude scored from second on that thing. Chapin ended up sitting on the Angels. Dude scoring at home. Yeah, so do we agree? I mean, do you give Heim the pass ball there? It seems a little harsh to me. I probably would have gone wild pitch myself on that just because it bounces. It's outside. It wasn't like bouncing right in front. It was a bounce kind of off the plate. It looked like it was about even with the plate. Like, if he would have thrown it down the middle, it probably would have bounced on the plate. So I'm okay with the wild pitch designation. Initially, it looked like they scored it a pass ball. The error isn't great from Jonah, and it did look like the hustle was there to get to the ball. That thing just went so daggum far away. But I will say this, and Aaron makes a good point, and I already said this, But I do think Carson Kelly needs to be getting 2 out of 3 starts. I think at this point, yes, Heim is the controllable piece that you definitely have next year. So there's something to be said with, we know Jonah's going to be there. Let's keep giving him most of the reps. Kelly is a free agent at the end of the year. He could be gone. I get both arguments. I just think at this point, it's pretty abysmal from Heim offensively, and the defense is now starting to slip a little bit. I don't think that they need to go so far and get so dramatic as to allow Sam Huff to do some catching. I personally am not a big Sam Huff fan in regards to him getting more playing time. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a great guy, so it's nothing personal. But I think Sam Huff is a quadruple A guy. We've talked about what that means. I think he's a guy that can hit well down at triple A, but he gets up to the majors and he hasn't been able to do it. So I personally would like to see Heim get a few less starts. I'd like to see Kelly 2 out of 3 days. I think you can still give Heim a game every third day, and that's still going to give him some good at-bats down the stretch. But I think start letting Kelly take some of the reps, more of the reps, instead of the traditional platoon that it's kind of been up to this point. I'll keep going here. Aaron, what's up, by the way? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you, bud, if you're still hanging out. We are going to roll with you guys' comments, your questions, all that good stuff. So keep them coming. If you got more stuff from today or you want to talk tomorrow's game as well, we're going to get into the preview for tomorrow too. So keep it coming. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think Huff is going to be in the long-term plans. Appreciate the comment. I don't think that they need to be giving him any kind of playing time at catcher. I think at this point you roll with Heim, you roll with Kelly. I mean, look, I know they have Andrew Knapp in the minors right now. Knapp could potentially be a guy, I think, that you allow to compete during spring training. I don't know what the average is right now for Andrew Knapp, but I think that he had a pretty nice start in AAA to the season. I'll see if I can get the stats for Knapp right now. But maybe if you can't re-sign Kelly, Knapp is a guy you consider. If there's nobody else or if you got a lot of overpriced, I think that could definitely be an option. But I think that the Rangers cannot go into 2025, 100% cannot go into 2025 trying to have Jonah be the everyday catcher or catch 145 games or whatever it is. So look, Knapp is hitting 290 with 9 bombs this year at AAA. 290 with 9 bombs, 385 OBP. Look, we all know, and we got to take this with a grain of salt, you're not always going to see these numbers translate over to the big leagues. But look, 290, 385 OBP. For me, I'm probably giving Knapp a shot in spring training. I don't know what his contract situation is, if we are going to have to re-sign or if he signed a multi-year deal, whatever. I don't know. If you guys do, drop it in the comments. But I'd almost be apt, if you can't re-sign Kelly, see what Andrew Knapp has. See what he has. From LA, you got our boy Seager. Yes, I agree. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. Corey Seager, obviously on the IL right now, but outstanding player. Appreciate that. Seager, for whatever reason, I don't know if he's ever been completely honest or if it's ever come out why he left LA. I think it had a lot to do with the Manny Machado trade when Seager got hurt pretty much when he first came up in the big leagues. I think it was an arm injury, if I'm not mistaken, Seager had. And then the Dodgers traded for Machado. Got him from Baltimore. Then they courted him heavily in the offseason because when they traded for him, he was set to be a free agent. And I think that rubbed Corey the wrong way. If you have some kind of insider scoop on it, let me know. But I don't think there's been a whole lot publicly said, but I just do not think that that sat well with him. And I think it's a big reason why he wanted to move on. I think Texas probably ended up paying him a little bit more money than what the Dodgers wanted to. But I know the Dodgers were trying to extend him like multiple times. So, look, I totally get it. I totally get it. You were injured. You were a top prospect in the organization. And you ended up getting replaced by Manny Machado, and the Dodgers actively tried to sign Manny Machado. So, I understand. Probably didn't feel very wanted and wanted a change of scenery when the time came, regardless of winning the World Series with the Dodgers back in 2020. Let me keep going here. So Anderson was pitching a perfect game going into the fifth. The error opened up the hit for Zeke to get the double. We scored 2. It's amazing how a thing like an error can cascade. I agree, and you see a lot. I mean, sometimes a guy's not giving up a hit through 5, through 6, or a perfect game through 4, 5, 6. And it just takes that one moment, whether it's an error, a seeing eye single, and then things start unraveling for the pitcher. I mean, look, you don't always see it, but that is what I feel kind of happened tonight with Anderson. Dealing, absolutely dealing. And then just a couple little things throw you off, and the Rangers able to take advantage of it. And credit to them, because the Rangers haven't always been able to take advantage of things like this. I mean, shoot, I was not happy after that Zeke hit. They had two chances with a runner on third base. I believe two chances with the runner on third base, Zeke on third base, to score another run. And they couldn't get that run in. So this is all what in the, when was that big inning for the Rangers? In the bottom of the fifth, Zeke was on third base. And the Rangers had two chances in the bottom of the fifth to get him home, right? He advanced to third. Zach Neto had that throwing error. So Zeke standing on third base. And John, this is appropriate to go ahead and bring up Foscue right now. So Foscue comes up with Zeke Duran sitting on third with one out and strikes out. And it's a four-pitch strikeout. You look at the at-bat itself, and he fouls off, middle in, a little bit high, 90 miles an hour. Great pitch to hit, a little in on the hands. Ball two, borderline pitch he takes for ball on the outside. 90-mile-an-hour fastball, middle. I would say not quite middle, middle, maybe slightly middle out, fouls it off again. And we've talked about the Rangers and just all the foul balls, not being able to take advantage of pitches. Some guys can, the Corey Seegers of the world, no doubt. But then the fourth pitch, the changeup, 80 miles an hour, way below the zone. Like, it's not easy being a major league hitter, but that at bat is just not good from Foscue. It's not going to cut it. You got to put the ball in play. And at this point, Foscue, his game has got to be doing little things right. I mean, regardless of what you did at Mississippi State, you have to do little things right at this point in your career in the major leagues. So for him to strike out in that moment when you really just needed a productive out, I can't remember how the Angels were playing that particular at bat, if the infield was in. I forget at this point. But nevertheless, you drive the ball to the outfield, you hit a ground ball right side. With the infield drawn in, a lot can go right. Just putting the ball in play, you got to hit it darn near right at somebody for them to make a play on you. So for me, Foscue got to put the ball in play there. And it's just continuing a really disappointing trend since he's been up in the major leagues. I can't imagine that he would be getting this much playing time with Corey Seager healthy, with a couple other guys still around. Obviously, if you had Robbie Grossman, if you had him around still, not sure that you would have seen Foscue at all today either. Of course, Robbie's on KC Royals now, but Robbie would have started tonight. I mean, he probably would have been hitting, you know, second or somewhere up at the top of the lineup. So look, Foscue benefiting from the Rangers being at the position that they're at right now with the standings, but dude's hitting 071 right now, 071. And let's look at how many ABs he's gotten this year, just because I think it's important to evaluate using sample size. So right now, in his regular season career, 28 ABs, not sure how many plate appearances it is. So look, we can say this. It's a small sample size with Foscue. It is. It's a small sample size. And I think maybe that is something that you can put forward as an excuse, I guess, a reason for why you maybe aren't hitting the panic button on him. But it's concerning how bad it looks. Like, the eye test is just not great with Justin right now. And I really do think if the Rangers were in a competitive spot, he'd probably be in AAA at this point. If the Rangers were two games out, three games out, I have no doubt Foscue would be down in the minors. So I wish and I hope that he takes advantage of this time, because you never know. You just never know when you're going to run out of time as you try and pursue this dream to be an everyday starter in the major leagues. Some other first baseman we sign in free agency, another first baseman. Look, Blaine Crim is low-key on fire right now down there at AAA. I really feel like with Foscue, he's got some guys. I know he's kind of a corner guy, maybe played a little bit of second base too. I mean, he's not going to be at second base. Simeon's going to be there forever. But let's look at Blaine Crim's numbers down in minor leagues. I think he had another nice night tonight out here in Vegas. Round Rock is out here right now. Max Scherzer was dealing tonight. We're going to talk about that. Scherzer goes four innings, I believe, with eight Ks. Dude was dealing. Blake Grimm is hitting 280 with 19 bombs down at AAA right now. So, look, I think Foscue is going to have to figure it out quickly. I'm actually a little bit surprised that Blake Grimm isn't up with the squad right now. I think you easily could call him up and send Foscue down. I would be up for that, no doubt. I'd like to see Blake Grimm and what he can do. There's a couple other guys I think are worth calling up as well. But, look, Foscue has got to figure it out quickly. Maybe they'll give him an offseason reset, invite him back to spring training, see if a full season without injury makes a difference. But my goodness, it was rough tonight, and it's been rough for Foscue. Evan Carter, Gerald, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Evan Carter, back injury, and I think pretty much they just decided with where the Rangers are at in the standings, let's stop with any kind of risk. Let's just shut him down, give him a full offseason, and hopefully Evan Carter will be back for spring training. But back issues. And it's kind of been something that's nagged him throughout his young, young career. Evo, absolutely. EBL, Evo is a freaking beast, no doubt. I mean, he just is. Evo is one of my favorite Rangers players, one of my favorite Rangers pitchers. Love Nate Eovaldi. Really hope he's back with the Rangers next year. That looked like 100% done deal at certain points this year, but I don't know. Evo's going to have to talk to the brass and figure out what's going on with the Rangers' plan for 2025. Are they going to try and be a winning team? Are they going to kind of stick with the guys they got, try and run it back, hope that they get some guys that majorly regressed this year bouncing back? I wouldn't be doing that, by the way, if I was CY. But look, who knows? Is a TV deal going to come through in some way, shape, or form, give a little monetary boost to the franchise? I don't know. All things yet to be determined, but I sure hope Nate Eovaldi is going to be around next year. That would be an exciting rotation, man. You got DeGrom, you got Evo, you got Bradford, you got Malley. Maybe you've got Kumar Rocker or Leiter. Maybe both of them, you keep six starters. I think it could be a really, really fun year of pitching for the Texas Rangers, assuming everybody's healthy. You still have John Gray, who I think can be effective in short stints out of the bullpen. So I think Rangers are going to be competitive next year, regardless of the finish this year. Got to add some bats, though. Got to add some bats, no doubt. Let me keep going. LeClutch tonight, wasn't he? LeClutch tonight. Look, what did he get? Two outs? But it was 1-2. It was 1-2. He had no base runners tonight. We always joke, Leclerc is allergic to the clean inning, but tonight he gets it. So good for him. Good for him. Doesn't happen every night. So you got to enjoy nights like tonight when Jose Leclerc goes clean inning, goes 1-2-3, or in this case, 1-2 shutdown. We'll take it. We'll take it. I'm glad nobody had to get the barf bag out, start taking the Pepto, the Tums. Look, Leclerc, you got to have those things on deck when that dude pitches. You just do. But tonight actually did really well. And I think it's very fair. Give some of these guys credit when it's due. And you know what? It was a tight game at that point, and Leclerc comes in. I believe he relieved Chafin, did he not? No, that was Festa. Festa did a nice job too. Festa came in, struck out Ohapi, and then got Drury to fly out. And then in the seventh inning, Leclerc replaced Festa after Festa gave up the walk and got a strikeout. Leclerc strikes out Taylor Ward, gets Zach Nato to line out to Marcus. So good for him. Good for Jose Leclerc tonight. He actually got the win tonight. 6-4 now on the season with a 4.55 ERA. LeClutch getting the dub tonight. How about it, Rangers fans? All right, let's keep going. I agree. What a great day to be a Longhorns fan and a Rangers fan. And hopefully we can be saying that tomorrow about the Cowboys and the Rangers as well. Let me actually talk about this. So I thought, man, after the first couple of outings for Chafe, I really thought it was just kind of a foregone conclusion. We're going to be exercising that option. I do wonder if they are maybe going to let him walk in free agency. I think that's a legitimate question at this point. Are they going to let Chafin walk? I know that he is a lovable guy. Got the, obviously, the backwoods, you know, just the good old boy vibes going on. I love it. But I will say this. He has been up and down in his time with the Rangers. He has been. So I absolutely think that it's now closer to a 50-50 proposition whether they keep him or not. Now, I don't know what the contract is, like what's the price on keeping Chafin. I might be able to figure that out on the fly. Let me see if I can get Andrew Chafin contract right now and just see what he would be. So on SpoTrack here, looks like the Rangers could exercise a club option. They would have to pay him $6.5 million if they wanted to exercise that club option. So $6.5 million, is Chafin worth $6.5? I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Let's give a little bit of reference here. So let's look up David Robertson's contract and let's see what he's getting paid annually. So Robertson, $5 million was what he got paid in 2024. And the Rangers have a mutual option with David Robertson, $7 million for 2025. And that's actually kind of a little bit new news to me. I thought Robertson was just straight up gone, but it's actually a mutual option with Robertson for next year. So the Rangers and Robertson would both have to agree that they want this to continue on. That's a nice contract. That's a nice annual for a guy like Robertson that did have a lot of success this year. So he'd be getting $7 million. Let's see what Kirby Yates is getting right now. Just out of curiosity, Kirby Yates, $4.5 million. So I do think just based on those contracts alone, it's not a ridiculous overpay at $6.5 million for Chafe. But I don't know. I still think that they're going to pause and think about that one, especially if he doesn't have a very strong ending to the season. Like I said, at one point, Aaron, I thought this was like money in the bank, literally and figuratively. Like they were just going to be paying him $6.5 million. Kind of a deal for a guy like Chafin, a lefty that comes in and gets a lot of outs. So I would say at this point, it's the needle's going a little more towards 50-50, I think, on Andrew Chafin. Let me get to TikTok here. I've been neglecting y'all all night long. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Somebody's asking about Corey Seager. Ryu, I hope I'm saying that right. Any updates on Seager? Is he out for the rest of the year? I would imagine Seager is probably not going to play unless by some miracle the Rangers get within like two or three games of the wild card or two or three games of the Strohs. Otherwise, I don't think we're going to see Corey Seager again. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I would really, really feel like they're not going to be pushing him back at all if there's no chance. I really don't know why you would, unless Corey is adamant that he really wants to get back in there before the season ends. Aiyuk or Waddle week one? Oh, man. I'm probably going Waddle only because Waddle had the full camp and Aiyuk didn't. So I'm probably going Waddle week one, but hard to go wrong with either one of those guys. But that's my pick. Let me see. When is injured returning? Of course, this comment, Dan, what's up, man? Referring to Jacob DeGrom. De-injured or DeGrom, as we like to call him, DeGrominator. He is going to be back probably next week, I think. So this weekend, I think. Today, did he make a start, Jacob DeGrom? I think today he did. So he'll be back, I think, late next week. That's going to be really exciting. And Jacob DeGrom has been dominating in the minor leagues on the rehab assignment. He's gotten like progressively better every single start. He was stellar in his likely final rehab start tonight. So I really think that next week late, he's probably going to be there. I think tonight he went 49 pitches, struck out 5, did not walk anyone, and allowed 1 hit. So I think that was in about 4 innings of work. Good for him. And then we also had Scherzer, who threw 39 strikes and 53 pitches. I think Scherzer had 8 Ks tonight. So you had both the boys throwing tonight, Scherzer and DeGrom. It would be kind of fun to see those guys. I know I talked about Scherzer. I mean, what's the real benefit to the Rangers of having Scherzer come back? I don't think Scherzer is going to be back next year with the club. So I personally don't see a huge upside for the Rangers of letting Max Scherzer come back. I think it's kind of an IOU thing. It benefits Max going into free agency, no doubt. He wants to show off that he still got it. And look, I know he's pitching against AAA guys tonight, but I think monitored, tapered, I think he does still have it. I don't think he can go 7-8 every single start anymore, but he's still got good stuff, Max Scherzer does. So we'll see. I'm excited to get those guys back, though. I think it's going to be great. I'm scrolling through TikTok real quick, seeing if I forgot anything else. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. I think we're caught up. So I'll keep trying to look back here and check things out a little bit better. So we'll see what happens. But y'all keep the comments coming. Now, let's go to the game for tomorrow. Again, I'll take any comments if you want to keep talking the game for tonight. Just to put a bow on tonight, though, Josh Young, the only other guy that I think I really had in mind to chat about tonight, 2 for 3. And Josh Young's nearly hitting 500 in his last 7 games. So maybe this 3-hole spot has unlocked something for Josh Young. I don't know, but it's been great to see him on a tear, on a positive trajectory. He was looking rough there for a while, but the average is now up to 289 again, hitting a little bit under 500 in his last 7 games. In his last 15, he's hitting 322. In his last 30 games, he's hitting 288. In his last 7, he has nearly a 500 OBP. So look, maybe this 3-hole is doing something for Josh Young, but it's really, really nice to see him coming around and doing well. Absolutely. Yeah, look, I don't love it. Injured. Yeah, I mean, look, he does have an injury past. I like Jacob DeGrom a lot. I do hope that the next couple of years, now that he's got the second Tommy John, I hope he does stay on the field more. I really do. Let me keep going here. Do I want the Rangers locker room World Series hat? Man, of course. Is that even a question? I would love the Rangers locker room World Series hat. No doubt. I love hats. I collect tons of them. Rangers hats of all kinds. Love them. So, yeah, I'm never going to turn down a hat, especially if it's Rangers. I feel like more people watch the Rangers recap than the Longhorns one. Longhorns one is pretty much brand new, though. Keep that in mind. And today, we had a ton of people on TikTok for the Longhorns recap. I know that y'all aren't able to see that if you're on YouTube, Facebook, but we actually had a ton of people wanting to talk college football. A lot of SEC fans, people from different backgrounds, not Longhorns fans per se, but just fans of the SEC. People just want to talk SEC football. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people on TikTok for the Longhorns recap. So it's new. We're still starting it out. It's all good. I definitely enjoy doing it regardless of how many people are watching. Just like with these Rangers recaps, some nights it's like off the hook, so many people. Some nights it's a little bit of a smaller crowd. I just enjoy doing it anyway. So I love it regardless. Let's see. Is Texas in the SEC now? Yes. Texas and Oklahoma, both in the SEC. So yeah, like I said, I had some Georgia fans in the chat, and it was great. Just good back and forth stuff. Of course, Texas and Georgia play each other October 19th in Austin. That's going to be great. But yeah, a lot of SEC football talk now for Longhorns fans. All right, let me keep going. We talked Josh Young. We talked him hitting nearly 500 over his last 7 games. Maybe that 3-hole spot activating something. I do think, if I remember correctly, last year against lefties, Josh Young did hit a lot of 3-hole. I think they moved him back a little bit when it was a righty, but I do think they have had Josh Young hit third, especially against lefties, who he typically rakes against, and that was evident again tonight against Tyler Anderson. Josh Young loves hitting left-handed pitching. So I do think last year he did hit 3-hole against quite a few lefty starters. So I do think that this is going to be potentially a move maybe they look at for next year. We'll see what the lineup and what the roster looks like. But Josh Young finding a home in the 3 spot. Love it. All right, let's go to tomorrow. And y'all keep the comments coming if you want to talk anything else from today's game. But Heendog on the mound for the Rangers tomorrow. You got to feel great when Heendog is on the bump. Anytime Andrew Heaney's name I see in that probable starter section, I'm like, okay, this is a game we can win. So Heendog on the mound, 381 ERA, man. I just cannot get over how good of a season Andrew Heaney has had. Going to miss that dude next year. I cannot imagine the Rangers re-sign him. He is going to try and get that last big multi-year contract. So we'll see what happens in the offseason, but my prediction is he's going to go get that big multi-year deal with a high average annual. I don't know if the Rangers are going to be able to keep up. But look, for the rest of this season, I'm going to enjoy every Andrew Heaney start, and I suggest you do the same. Little extra juice for Heendog tomorrow, pitching against the Angels, his former team. I would love to see him go seven scoreless. Doesn't that just feel right when I say it? Seven scoreless for Heaney. I think that we're going to put that out there and just speak that into existence tomorrow. Now, look, with how the Rangers offense has been going when Heaney starts, he's going to go seven scoreless and it's going to be 0-0. I mean, that is just how it's gone with Andrew Heaney this year, sadly. Maybe we can actually give him like four or five runs tomorrow. I mean, look, would that be too much to ask? Three runs even? I think we would take three runs in an Andrew Heaney start. My goodness. My goodness. So Andrew Heaney tomorrow, Caden Dana on the mound for the Angels. Man, they are just throwing out every rookie they got. I know Tyler Anderson, not really a rookie. He's been around for a little bit, but a lot of fresh pitchers, a lot of green pitchers in this Angels rotation up to this point. So here's what we got. Dana in, looks like, one outing this year. I'm going to take a look here at his numbers. He's got one game, one major league game under his belt. He went six innings. I believe he gave up, let's see, two earned runs, had four walks. So this is a guy that is going to maybe be allowing some free passes. Hopefully the Rangers can have a good disciplined approach up there against him. But September 1st, he went six innings, only gave up two earned runs, two hits, four walks, four Ks. So we'll see what we got. But anytime Heen Dog is on the bump for us, I feel pretty good about a win. It's really just, are the Rangers going to score runs? And look, in a lot of Andrew Heaney starts, sadly, they haven't. But look, there's always an opportunity to break the trend. And look, there's always the next game. And you know what? Maybe tomorrow is the next game when the Rangers finally give this man some run support, the run support he deserves. All right, so against Heaney, the Angels have about six hitters that have faced him. Drury is 2-for-7. Nato is 1-for-2 with the home run. Ohapi, 1-for-3. Rendon, 1-for-3. Shanuel is 0-for-3. And Ward is 0-for-5. So kind of a mixed bag, small sample size. None of the Rangers players have faced Dana before. I think I'm saying that right. So it's going to be interesting to see how the offense plays tomorrow against a rookie pitcher who only has one major league start. Of course, in the past this year, that has not always boded well for the Rangers going up against a rookie pitcher. Feels like almost every rookie pitcher that goes against us becomes Cy Young. But you know what? Tomorrow, I think, is going to be a day we score a few. I'm putting it out there. Again, speaking it into existence. John, we did talk a little Zeke at the beginning of the show. So Zeke, Duran had a great hit, a double, gapped it to tie the game, got to third base on a throwing error. Absolutely, Zeke Duran with a very, very solid game. So got to make sure we give him his flowers. Up and down season for Zeke, right? Got demoted, sent to AAA, caught fire in AAA. A lot of us thought maybe he'd be trade bait of some kind, but he ends up contributing, I would say, off and on after coming back up in July or whenever it was. Nice to see him getting an opportunity and then also delivering when he gets the opportunity. So Zeke Duran, another guy we absolutely want to highlight. Let's keep things rolling. It says, do you think the Rangers go out and sign or trade for a big bat this offseason? Appreciate the comment. Oh, you were on TikTok a little bit earlier. That's right. Hey, either one works, right? I appreciate you, though. So I want to say they probably are going to go get a bat of quality. I don't know if that means superstar. I don't think they're probably going to go get a big, big name. Are they going to go maybe try and get a couple of solid guys? I could see that. I don't know about the trade thing. I think free agency is probably a little bit more likely, but I would love for them to make a big splash and get a bat in there. I think they really cannot count on some of these guys bouncing back. I think they have got to be proactive in getting a bat at the deadline, in the offseason, and we'll see what happens. But the TV deal, I think, is going to be a big part of it. This past offseason, they didn't get that Bally TV deal figured out, and they weren't able to spend as much money as they wanted to. We'll see. But I do think that the Rangers will be in the market to go out and get some offense. Is it going to be top shelf? Probably not. Could I see them making, though, some very good, solid acquisitions, guys that can potentially play every day? Yes. Right now, the Rangers haven't been linked to a lot of players. In fact, the only players I've seen the Rangers linked to thus far are pitchers, which I don't really think the Rangers need right now. The bullpen does need to get retooled. but I think that they could probably use some bats more than anything. Thoughts on Wyatt Langford? I love Wyatt Langford. I think he's got a really bright future. He's definitely on an upward positive trajectory right now to end the 2024 season. You hope he continues to get better. I think he could be a great two-hole hitter or maybe a four- or five-hole hitter for the Rangers next year. I'd love to see the power be a consistent thing in his game. He could be, I think, a 25-home run guy. I would love to see more homers from him next year, more power from him. We know that he's one of the fastest players in the game, electric in that way. I would love to get more consistent power out of Wyatt's bat, though. All right, so we previewed the game for tomorrow, which, by the way, is a 1:35 start for us out here. 1:35 start for y'all out in Texas. And the Cowboys game, I lied earlier. I said they were going to be going on at exactly the same time. So the Cowboys game doesn't start until 3:25 Texas time. The Rangers game starts at 1:35. So maybe some overlap there, but I still think we're probably going to go at the same time and do kind of a combo Rangers-Cowboys live tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull off doing two separate. So some of y'all Rangers fans that are not Cowboys fans, you're welcome to hang out, but we'll do a transition maybe midway through, talk a little bit of Cowboys after we talk some Rangers, maybe even go live during the Cowboys game and kind of go through the Rangers, do a little recap, and it'll be fun. But I want to say thank you to everybody once again that tuned in today. I appreciate all you guys. When I first started this back in January 2023, so like a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I just wanted to have a group of people, have a bunch of people to talk sports with. I mean, just a simple goal. And y'all have helped me achieve that goal and then some. And so this wouldn't be possible without you guys liking, sharing, viewing, all this kind of stuff means a lot to me. So thank you. If you're not following, you're not subscribed to the channel, I would greatly appreciate you hitting that follow or subscribe button. That way you can stay up to date with every bit of our latest and greatest content. If you hit that notification button, you can get notified every time we post, every time we go live, so you never miss out. And if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves DFW sports, please send them my way. Tell them about the channel. Share one of my videos with them. I would be very, very grateful. So hope y'all have a great rest of your Saturday night. Hope you have a good Sunday tomorrow. Enjoy all the NFL football. It's great to have football back. Man, I'm pumped. Hope the Cowboys can get off to a good start tomorrow. We'll be going live post-game Rangers, Cowboys to talk all about it. Come hang out again tomorrow night. If I don't see you tomorrow, then hopefully we'll catch you on the replay or sometime early next week. And that's the plan. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.